What's that?
Okay, timekeeper. Or sure. 5 after?
It is now 10:05 at the time.
Okay, so 45 minutes, please.
Everybody. Romans chapter 1.
So last week we did the introduction, and again, we're just going to read the first 17 verses as we start this morning and go from there. So Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Verse 11 is the purpose of the book. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And the next three verses are the theme of the book. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So again, verses 15, 16, and 17 being the theme of the book of Romans. Verse 11 being the purpose of the book of Romans. Okay? So last week we really didn't even get into the scripture yet. We just more did an introduction to the book. And if you weren't able to be here, or by, not by internet, by video, it'd be a good place to start. Go back, watch that. So today we're going to start with verse 1, and I don't even know if we'll get past verse 1. And we're not going to do a week of a verse a week. Today will be. But it's just important to get established very well. Otherwise, it would take us a whole long time, many years to get through the book of Romans. So anyway, let's just get into it here. So verse 1, Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. All right, so several things we want to cover here. In verse 1. Again, just to establish from last week, the book was written. So Paul is saved in Acts 9. First time we have an accounting of his preaching is Acts 13. And in Acts 20 is when he writes the book of Romans. He writes 1 Corinthians. Then Acts 20, he writes the book of Romans 20, verse 1. And 2 Corinthians 20, verse 3, and we did look at that last week. Okay, so just to get a little bit of a time frame up here on the board. All right, so Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Okay, a couple of things we want to look at there. Of course, Romans to Philemon, being the 13 books written by the Apostle Paul. Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. And if you'll notice, he's going to start every one, of course, put a marker. I'm going to go ahead and put my marker in Romans 1 here.
Is that what that's for?
That's what that is for. And we don't even charge extra to teach that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the next book. So that's Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And he starts out, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. With the first word, Paul. 2 Corinthians. But you can't guess what the first word is going to be in 2 Corinthians. Class learns quickly. 2 Corinthians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Next book will be Galatians. Paul, an apostle. How about that? Next book is Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Philippians, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior. 2 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Titus, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Philemon, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Hebrews, God, who at sundry times... I don't have to worry about who wrote Hebrews, do I? God wrote it. Paul did not write it. Okay? First 13 book, or Paul wrote 13 books. Romans to Philemon. He did not write Hebrews. Now, if you have a Bible that has at the top the Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Hebrews, that is something that your editor added in there. It is not in the King James translators.
It's in your Bible, isn't it?
It is in my Bible.
What are we going to do about this?
Cross it out.
Isn't there a Bible that does not have that? It's a King James.
Yeah, there are some.
Oxford.
Could I tell you which one? I don't know. Yours does not?
No.
Which one do you have?
It's the
Walmart.
They didn't shine it.
Henderson.
Henderson for the tape there.
Henriksen.
Henriksen does not have the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. But Thompson does. So, you know, that's just one more reason why you know that, you know, both the opening, every single book that Paul writes, he puts the word Paul first. Yes.
She has a Nelson, and I have a Nelson. Her Nelson doesn't have, it just says the Epistle of the Hebrews. My Nelson says, which is, I think, the same Bible you have.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So that's interesting.
That is interesting. I wonder if yours was an edition before or later.
Yeah.
Let's find that out later. That'd be good to know.
Interesting.
Did they remove it or did they add it? Well, mine's 32, 33 years old, so... Probably years, maybe later.
I don't know. I just bought this. But I have another one like this that I've had for...
This one's 72.
10 years.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be curious to find the copyright on that, or the printed, what do you call it?
Copyright.
Yeah, it is a copyright.
It's the publication of it.
So anyway, Paul always puts that first. He puts his name first. He also closes his books the same way, which is another way that you would know that Hebrews... is not written by Paul. There's many other reasons as well, but don't let people try to tell you that Paul wrote Hebrews. He did not. Had he written it, it would have said Paul to the Hebrews, or, you know, Paul something, just as he did in the 13 books prior to the book of Hebrews. Okay? So back to Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And let's take a minute and really look into that word servant of Jesus Christ. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Okay, being a servant. And a servant would differ, you know, some translations in some of these places now are going to put words like slave or bond slave in there. Servant's the right word. Servant does, you know, you have a will in this. Okay, a slave does not have a will. Okay, they're bought, they're sold. They don't, it's not of their will. A servant, it is of their will to be there. Okay? So 4:5 of 2 Corinthians, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And once you get there, hold it, and come out to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is what we're going to read first. And watch how he words this. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God, and just think about that term, being allowed of God. I mean, that's a very, and of course we're going to finish the book here, or the verse here, but an interesting way to word that. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Okay, so he was allowed of God. Now back to 1 Corinthians 9, keeping that in mind. And in verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Okay, so he's allowed of God to do something here, being affiliated with the gospel. But yet, you know, he's made himself a servant unto all. Let's pick up the whole context here. Start at the end of verse 16, where he says, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. 1 Corinthians 9. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 9. And I backed up to verse 16 there to pick up the end of verse 16. And that's okay. Let's read 17 again. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews, now, when Paul keeps going here in verse 20, Paul's the only one that can say what we're going to read here in the next couple of verses. You and I cannot apply these next verses to ourselves. This would be true of Paul and Paul only. In your Bible, even the 12 couldn't do this. Paul's the only one. Verse 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Okay? So this dispensation of the gospel, use a blue one here. So you know, we know that that after, so we should have put it, I should have put a black 28 up there for Acts 28, which is when the dispensation of the grace of God, as in Ephesians chapter 3, started. So I'm going to put in the parentheses here, the dispensation of the grace of God. That did not start till Acts 28. But the dispensation of the gospel that Paul's talking about here in 1 Corinthians, the dispensation of the gospel of Christ, again, whenever you see gospel, always ask yourself, which gospel? Which of the ten gospels? Next week we're going to do a study strictly on the gospels. 10 different gospels you can find in your Bible. Okay? But right now, so the dispensation of the gospel of Christ, I'm just going to do a dotted line up to here. So Acts chapter 9, when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto Paul on the road to Damascus, the dispensation of...
I've asked, my first database hasn't been updated.
Excuse me? The dispensation of the gospel of Christ.
What is the difference between the two?
We'll go ahead. So, great question for the tape that has just been asked. What is the difference between the two? And there's actually, so two of those ten gospels, there's the gospel of Christ, there's the gospel of the grace of God. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And you'll see this term. So in Acts chapter 20, and we're going to read verse 24, and this is an answer to the question. But none of, so Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Okay? Testify the gospel of the grace of God. Again, which gospel when you see that term? I want to read two more verses before actually answering the question. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's see this term, dispensation of the grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. And Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God." So there's our term, okay? If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, I'm going to skip the verse 5, skipping the parentheses, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is
now
revealed. Ephesians chapter 3, second to last book he wrote. Okay, way out here after Acts 28, when he's in prison, is when he writes the book of Ephesians, and he says, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. How about it? Now, one more passage, Romans chapter 1, actually be the theme of the book of Romans, the way we concluded for the last couple verses that we read as we opened up our study here. So Romans verses 15 and 16, when Paul says, "So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am," again, which gospel? Next verse. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Okay, so the question on the table is, and then so in 1 Corinthians 9, he talked about a dispensation of the gospel being committed unto him, right? So the question on the table, what's the difference between the two? The dispensation of the gospel of Christ, beginning at the time period of Acts chapter 9. Now we probably should have read 1 Timothy 1:16 also. Howbeit for this cause, before I misquote it. So I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, just to establish that Paul was the first one saved this way. Always see it in Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me, what's the next word?
First.
First. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul saved in Acts chapter 9 by the gospel of Christ. He tells us just before this is when he wrote, so in Acts 19 is when he wrote 1 Corinthians. When he talked in 1 Corinthians 9 is where he talked about this dispensation of the gospel. Okay, so out here is when he's writing it. Right here is where it began. It began when Paul was saved by the gospel of Christ in Acts chapter 9. The first time we see it preached is right here in Acts 13. I'm going to say first time the gospel of Christ is preached. Okay, the first time, it doesn't mean the first time we have an accounting of it. It's not the first time it's preached. It could have been preached plenty of times between Acts 9 and 13. It's the first time we have the accounting of it. Let me make sure I'm clear on that. Okay? Everybody clear on what I just said? Because I don't want to make that, that would be a huge mistake. Okay? So, could have been preached many, many, many times. Hundreds of times. We don't know how many times. That's just the first time we see the accounting of it. So that's when the dispensation of the gospel of Christ began. The dispensation of the grace of God starts in Acts 28. So let's go to Acts 28. Should just be a page to flip back. Acts 28, verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now last week we talked a lot about the verses before and after. So for the sake of today, I'm just going to use that one verse. But this is, pardon me, this is when the Jews become, lo am I, not my people. Okay? So it's the dispensation of the grace of God is the gospel of Christ. Back here, it goes to the, just as we read, go to Romans 1:17 or 1:16. I left off the phrase at the end for a reason. Now I want to add it. 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And notice this phrase. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. During this time period, especially from Acts 9 to Acts 20, Paul had to go to the Jew first. They blasphemed, then he's released to go to only the Gentiles. Every town he goes into, he goes to the synagogue between here and here. He goes to the synagogue. So, if you were a Gentile in this time period, and you saw Paul when he first came into that town, where would you have had to have been?
Synagogue.
At the synagogue. So you were a Gentile, the type of Gentile that understood the promises made to this guy Abraham back here in Genesis chapter 12. I'll bless them that bless thee, I'll curse them that curse thee. Go ahead.
Is there proselytes? Is that what they're called?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Proselytes for the tape there. And so they were aligning, they understood the promises made to Abraham back here. Now, they believed what Paul said, the majority of the Jews were welcome to believe it, but the majority of the Jews rejected what Paul said, blasphemed, that released Paul to then go next door, such as Acts 18. Come back to Acts 18. Okay, Acts 18, this is when he goes to Corinth. And we'll start in verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Okay, so you see where Paul went. And actually, go back to chapter 17, Acts 17, verse 2. Well, the end of verse 1. Where was a synagogue of the Jews? Verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Okay? Paul, as his manner was, what was his manner? To go to the synagogue first. Now, Acts 18. So verse 1, 18:1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Okay, so now he's in Corinth. Verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. In Romans 1:1, we're going to see that's the gospel of God. Verse 6, and when they opposed themselves, so when who? The Jews, from verse 4, okay, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, verse 6, and when they opposed themselves, and excuse me, the end of verse 5, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ, 6, and when they opposed themselves, those Jews from the end of verse 5, when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So that's a pattern that goes on town after town after town, especially Acts 16 to Acts 20. Okay? So that's the type of Gentile. That's what the book of Ephesians is all about, is showing the difference between these Gentiles and these Gentiles. These are the type that you and I are. You and I are. Okay? We are Gentiles that never aligned ourselves with Israel. We didn't go hear the gospel of Christ because we were at a synagogue like these Gentiles were back here in the prison epistle and the Acts period, in the Acts epistles time period. Okay? Any questions on that? Let me stop. Question?
No, just
or a comment.
So the answer to the question, dispensation of gospel of Christ, the difference between that and dispensation of the grace of God, what is?
Is who is eligible or who could hear the gospel of Christ to be saved. Same. So thank you for clarifying. Same gospel for salvation. It's the gospel of Christ. Here, it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Here, it's open to anybody and everybody. You did not have to be aligned with Israel. That's the main difference, and thank you for getting that real clarified here, especially for the tape. Question right there, a comment right there.
Does that, you know where it says about blaspheme against the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Will not be forgiven in this world of the world. Does that apply to them right there? To the, those Jewish people right there? At that moment?
So that would apply to anybody walking on the earth at that time, you know, this time, okay? These people would have been a lot, most of these people would have been, any adults were alive while Christ was on earth, okay? Any that rejected what Peter had said back here would have been blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Now, when the gospel of Christ came in, that's what the first thing that would have allowed anybody that had committed blasphemy. Let's back up. Matthew, and you know, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall be forgiven neither in this world nor in the world to come, the 1,000-year kingdom. Okay, they blaspheme, they're done. No more hope for them. That's why Paul. So.
I apologize. Maybe
that's a, no. Okay. These are all good things. Romans, or keep your hand there. And we don't need to keep Acts 18 anymore. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 again. We've read verse 16. Let's read a couple verses before it. So until Paul, if you blasphemed the Holy Ghost, you were done. This is what makes it a miracle that Paul was ever saved. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'll start in verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, there's another gospel, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, as we just read in 1 Corinthians 9, who is before a what?
A blasphemer.
Who can be forgiven neither in this world nor where? The world to come. Unless something changes. Unless doctrine changes. Who is before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. Mercy. Remember, grace and mercy, two key words. What's the difference between those two? Mercy. That's God withholding from us what we do deserve. What do we deserve? Hellfire and damnation. Death. Grace. Giving us something that we did not earn, that we do not deserve. How about eternal life? By simply believing and trusting in the gospel of Christ. And we get that eternal life. That is total grace. That is a gift. That's Him giving us something that we do not deserve. We cannot earn it. Okay? Difference between mercy and grace. 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. What He deserved for blaspheming the Holy Ghost was death. He couldn't be forgiven in this world or the world to come. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Hereafter. Now He writes this out here after Acts 28. But He's talking about here, Him first and from thereafter. That's the gospel of
salvation. So anybody that was alive that had blasphemed had option to believe in faith and trust, and then they would...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody that was walking the earth that had committed blasphemy, that could not be forgiven in this world, nor the world to come, if they heard the gospel of Christ, believed the gospel of Christ, and put their trust in it, as in Ephesians 1:13, they could be saved also. Yep. And that really helps you understand what grace is and about getting something you could not have, because they had no hope. They absolutely had no hope. Thank you. Okay, so let's go to Romans 1:1 again here. Have I got all the questions on the floor addressed right now?
Yep.
Okay, great. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Right now, we look at several of those verses also about being an apostle. Let's grab one in 11, Romans chapter 11 also here. So Paul is called to be an apostle. It's amazing. You watch the History Channel, and depending on which one, you know, which show you watch, you know, Paul just kind of meddled into the ministry of the 12, and another show may have Peter and Paul buddying up and going fishing together, and Peter teaching Paul all these things. Couldn't be further from the truth. Talk about false doctrine. That's it. Paul is a chosen apostle. So it's Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." This is a very exclusive office that Paul was given by, actually by three, by God the Father, he was given it by the Son, and he was given this office by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he's given, by all three of those, he's given this position, this ministry. He is an apostle. Now, let's see. So I'm thinking about what you just showed me. So,
it's further.
26. Grab Acts 26, Acts 22. What we're going to be looking at are Paul's accountings of Acts chapter 9. The appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ to Paul. Okay? Now, of course, Acts chapter 9 is Luke's accounting as an eyewitness to what was going on. Acts 26 and Acts 22, Paul's going to be in court, and giving his own testimony, you know, his words as to what happened back here in Acts chapter 9. When in him first, when he was saved, to be a pattern for them which should hereafter believe. Okay? So Acts 26. Here is what the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him. Let's just pick it up in verse 15. And if you compare this to Acts 9, it'll be no question. I really should do a better job of proving that this is Acts 9. I'm going to ask you to sort of take my word at it and study it out, but you'll see by what we read here, it's definitely Acts 9. Verse 15, and I said, well, I got to read 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Because it's Saul, Saul, you'll know right there it's before Acts 13. Acts 13 is where his name is. It's not changed because his name is still Saul. It was Saul Paul. And he went to his middle name, and thou will be called Paul from Acts 13 forward. Okay? So the fact that Saul is before Acts 13, and it is Acts 9. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. What purpose? To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen. These things which thou hast seen. Hast seen when? Right then and there in Acts 9. When he's on his way to go throw the Jews into jail, have them bound, have some put to death, and the Lord appeared unto him. That's what he has seen. That's like the last 5 minutes at that time in Acts 9. Both of those things which thou hast seen, verse 16, and those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So apparently there's going to be some things that Paul's going to see after Acts chapter 9. Progressive revelation would be a great term to use there. The Lord is going to reveal things unto him progressively. Remember in Acts 14, he stoned, and comparing that with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we know that when he was stoned, his spirit left that body and went to the third heaven. And the Lord told him and taught him some things there. Okay, that would be 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm seeing some looks. So keep your hand in Acts 26. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because that's a pretty critical one. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is referring to the same time in Acts chapter 14, verse 19, where he stoned and left from dead, your Bible tells you. And I would say those men knew death real well when they saw it. When they drug Paul's body out, taking him for dead, I'd say that body was dead by the way we define death. Here's Paul's account of that, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Well, son of a gun, if you back up from when he wrote 2 Corinthians, remember he wrote it, Acts chapter 20, verse 3, is when he wrote 2 Corinthians. Back up 14 years, he just happened to be Acts 14. How about that? He's referring to himself. He's referring to the episode in Acts 14, verse 19. Look at what he says in parentheses. So, about 14 years ago, parentheses, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. End of parentheses. Such a one caught up to where? The third heaven. And I knew such a man, again, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He was taught things back there in Acts 14 that he was not yet allowed to reveal. Many people would suggest to you that is when he actually learned this doctrine out here. He just wasn't allowed to reveal it until the Jews had every opportunity. And that's what the book of Romans is going to tell us a lot about, especially chapter 11 when we get there in the year 2018, the way we're going here. But no, that's the book of Romans tells us all about this. Okay, so in Acts 14, he very likely receives all this doctrine, but he's not allowed to reveal it. It's unlawful for him to speak it until after Acts 28, until the Jews do that final rejection, until he gets in front of the kings. And the Jews and the kings, those in authority, spiritual authority, and religious authority, and political authority, reject the gospel of Christ. That releases Paul from all promises made way back here in Genesis chapter 12, and that begins the dispensation of the grace of God. Acts 22, and we're not going to do it now, but that would also be Paul's an accounting. I think there was something else I wanted to grab there, but I think you've got the point here. And George, where we are we time-wise here?
It's 10:47.
So, did Paul knew when to reveal this, that he had found out in the third heaven? I mean, it doesn't say exactly what he was taught or learned, but might he have been led by the Holy Spirit to, because this is a mystery.
Correct.
So,
and he hadn't yet revealed it.
Correct. Was he led by the Holy Spirit to reveal the mystery when it was supposed to be revealed?
I would say absolutely. And so in Acts 14, when he was there, and again, in our time, it could have been a split second, which is why the body would not have decayed or anything yet. It could have just been that. But he was there, revealed the grace message. But he was told, and as he writes 14 years later, he's still writing, it's unlawful for me to utter those words. Because, and I would... It would be like you telling, I'm trying to make an analogy here off the top, but like you you have a grandchild that's young age, 5 or 6, somewhere in there, one of Tate's boys, or girls, three. So say they were 5 or 6, and you say, look, after you go to first and second grade, and you learn how to print, then you're going to learn how to do cursive writing. Well, that's 2 or 3 years in the future. You know, you've got to learn printing first, and you've got to learn your alphabet first, and then you're going to do cursive writing. So they knew it back here, but they couldn't do it until they learned certain things first.
Right.
But they did know that that would happen in the future. Paul, okay, go back to Acts 9 accounting. Thank you. You're actually setting up some things we should have covered here. Let's go back to Acts 9, Luke's accounting of it. And Paul would have said this in 22 and 26 also. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, thinking about Jerry's question just now, my attempt at an analogy. Verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, being Ananias, go thy way, for he, Saul at this point, is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the three groups here, the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Three groups. Now he does it in reverse. He's got to go to Israel first. Then he goes to the kings. Between Acts 20 and 28, it's all about getting in front of kings. After Acts 20, we never see Paul establish another church. We don't see him go to another town to establish a church. He's on his journey to get in front of kings. So he's been to Israel between Acts 13 and Acts 20. Okay, all those different churches he established. Now it's getting in front of kings. He got to the kings. They rejected. Almost Paul, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Okay, he says, the king says to him. Almost, but he didn't. So I guess I'm saying all that to say this, Jerry, in answer to your question. Yes, in Acts 14, he knew that they had to learn to print first and then do something else first before he could do the cursive writing out here. So he went to Israel first. Then he gets in front of kings. Both of these groups have rejected, blasphemed over and over and over again. Now, he said, like he said in Acts 28, verse 28, "Be it known unto you there, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." Now they can go.
That's
and
right.
Now begins the dispensation of the grace of God, as he says in Ephesians 3, verse 2, "as it is now revealed." Okay? Does that answer your question? Okay, good. Those are every single question is so, so critical and helps understand this doctrine.
Was there something somewhere along the ways pertaining to this topic talking about Thorn and Paul's side to keep him at bay, so to speak?
Right there in 2 Corinthians where we were reading chapter, if we would have kept reading. So I still have 2 Corinthians 12, so I'll go to where. So we ended up in verse 4, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. I'm just going to go to verse 6. "For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations," all these progressive revelations that he's given, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." What's that thorn? "The messenger of Satan to buffet me."
Whoa.
"Lest I should be exalted above measure." Okay? Mm-hmm. Paul could have just stuck his chicken breast out and look what I know. This is a verse we need to all, I'll say, internalize. We need to be careful. What's important is not to show somebody how much we know about the Bible. What's important is to share the gospel of Christ with them and to share your personal testimony of salvation with them. Because all that matters, they're either saved or they're not. They either is or they ain't. And it is that simple, that whittled down to that and that alone. 1 Timothy 2:4, in reference to God our Savior, who would have all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth so that they might be saved? No, that is not what the verse says. It says, in reference to God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved
and
to come unto the knowledge of the truth. But too many times, we've got too many people on this thing, the internet, I'm pointing at when I point over here, or on taped things that are trying to, you got to know all this stuff, the knowledge of the truth, before you can get saved. No, absolutely not. That is false doctrine. It is damnable doctrine. And it's doctrine that can absolutely keep people from getting saved.
And it goes against everything that's spoken about knowledge in the Bible.
Everything.
Because it all talks about
knowledge puffeth up.
Yeah. You can't be saved and then the knowledge becomes clear.
Absolutely, because you need the mind of Christ. When you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit in you. That's who teaches you as you study the Bible. It's you have the mind of Christ. And I'm coming right to you. You have the mind of Christ. And searching the Scriptures, that's how things are revealed. And attending Bible studies and going to graceforall.net and watching studies by Brother Jerry Lockhart and going to understandingyourbible.com and studying with Steve Atwood and Richard Jordan's his website.
Chicago or Arizona?
Chicago.
Shorewood Bible Church.
ShorewoodBibleChurch.com.
Yep.
Yeah, Richard Jordan. Okay? All great studies, places that you can go any, 24/7, 365, to study the Scriptures with men that are teaching the Bible correctly, rightly divided, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay, Romans 1:1. I don't know if we finished that one verse yet. All right, called to be an apostle, separated unto unto the gospel of God. So he was actually separated unto it, called unto it. We're going to look at those different gospels in another study here. Okay. Now again, we're not going to do every single verse this detail. But just getting started in the book of Romans, the foundation is always key. Paul definitely wrote it, He's a servant of Jesus Christ. He was called to be an apostle. Wow, you know what? So, we started at 5 after. Is that still going?
Correct.
Okay. He was Galatians chapter 1. I do want to get these before we move on. Galatians chapter 1. He is called by the Father, okay, and separated out of Israel, religious Israel. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. Okay, and on he goes there. One more place you know, Peter did not instruct him. He goes away for 3 years if we had kept reading. Okay, goes into Arabia. Okay? But 15 and 16, he separated. Okay, and he was separated in this case by God the Father. He's separated by the Son in Romans chapter 1, which we are reading here. He's separated, verse 1, unto the gospel of God. Skip the parentheses, go to verse 3. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom the Son were it now, have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. And by the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit separates him. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Who said? The Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said, separate me. Hey, there's that word again. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Who called them? The Holy Ghost. All right, now this one ends in Acts 14, verse 26, is when they complete this part of his ministry.
14 what?
26. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. That's what began in 13:2. So 13:2 to 14:26 is the first part of Paul's ministry that we have an accounting of there, where he's been separated. All right, by the way, while we're there on that page, back up to verse 19, this is what goes with 2 Corinthians 12. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Okay, that's that place right there that goes with 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When supposing he was dead, yep, he went to the third heaven right there. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught him. And there's good reason to believe, we don't know 100% degree of accuracy, but taught him the grace message. Okay? So those, I did want to get those in there with this study from verse 1. So Romans 1:1, where he was separated unto the gospel of God. And he was separated by God the Father, separated by the Son, and separated by the Holy Spirit. Great, thank you. Okay, so next week we'll pick up the parentheses.
And we'll get through that by 2018.
All right, thanks. And we got the whole thing on there, too.